Welcome to the MLMSuccess.com podcast, the show designed to return the network marketing industry to its roots of personal growth, leadership development, and wisdom of the ages success principles. We share with you real success stories from real people that we hope will inspire and encourage you personally and help you progress forward in your business and your life. We believe if you build people, people will build the business. Now here is your host, who has been called the number one mind in network marketing, the MLM prophet, network marketing virtual mentor, and a host of other names that we will not mention because this is a family show. Frankly, he's just a small town guy that figured out that the real product in network marketing is people. Dale Calvert.
Hey, this is Dale Calvert. I'd like to welcome you to session 186 of the MLM Success podcast. I hope you guys have had a great week. The title of this session is The Person in the Mirror. The Person in the Mirror. It's going to be a little bit different than normal podcasts. Sometimes I just got to get things out of my head, get it vented so I can get on with it. And this is going to kind of be one of those sessions. I accept the fact that as individuals, we all see things not as they are. We don't see things as they are, none of us. We see things as we are, as individuals. We see things as we are. In my life, I've really done my very best to question everything, everybody. I've always tried to consciously look at the yin and the yang of situations and issues and look behind the curtain as much as possible. And to the best of my ability, again, based upon my personal program perceptions. We're all made up of program perceptions about who we are, what we're capable of, the world in which we live. And as we've talked about in other sessions, we are all programmed based upon authority figures, parents, the environment in which we were raised, the location in which we were raised. There are certain things that create who we are, and normally the foundation of who we are is created normally by the time we're 12 years old. And to change that foundation and to reprogram your mind takes a lot of time, energy, and effort in able to do that. It can be done. It's not simple, but it can be done. That's why, throughout my adult life, since really studying and learning and understanding fight, flight, or fear in our DNA and how programming determines our activities and a lot of stuff that we've talked about many times through these podcasts, that I've really consciously really tried to guard the programming that I've allowed in my mind. And I always try to ask, is that idea or that concept based upon history and wisdom of the ages principles, or is it not? Where's that coming from? Where's the motivation for that message or that communication? And again, I know that I look at things a little bit different maybe than a lot of people, but I'm very aware and very conscious of it. As far as network marketing, my commitment is not to network marketing or any other business model. It's to you guys. It's to the entrepreneurial spirited people on their entrepreneurial journey that I'm doing my best to try to support to the best of my ability. I absolutely love the network marketing business model because of the impact that it had on my personal life. That's why, because network marketing is a personal development program with a compensation plan attached. That's what it is. But I'm a fan of all entrepreneurial endeavors that are providing service to end users and to customers and value to the marketplace. I'm for all of them. I'm going to support any that I possibly can. Some of I spent several years, 5 years in the health insurance business, and I got to meet so many entrepreneurs because we sold a health insurance program only for self-employed people. So I got to travel all over the state of Kentucky and meet a lot of different entrepreneurs and many different business ventures. And I love to hear the stories. So I'm a supporter of free enterprise and of entrepreneurs and people that want to grow, learn, improve, and become better and do better for themselves and for future generations. So I have a deep, deep appreciation just for the free enterprise system and business in general. I believe in business, your long-term income is in direct proportion to the value you provide to the market that you serve. That's the bottom line. Provide value, your long-term income is in direct proportion to the value that you provide to the market that you serve. The bottom line is it has nothing to do with manipulating people or over-promising and under-delivering or trying to trick or convince people. Long-term, it has to do with what kind of value, what value are you providing to the markets that you serve. And I believe that one of the most important factors of success, one that most people totally overlook, is timing. It's the timing of the opportunity. It's where are you at what time and place in history. I believe timing is very important. So, in general, I believe a good business deal is a good business deal. I believe you have to say no. This is real important. A lot of you need to hear this. I believe you have to say no to a lot of good ideas so you have time for the great ones. You got to say no to a lot of good business ideas so you have time for the great ones, for the great ideas. And life and business is an evolution. It's a progression. You see things different the older you become. You have more experience. You have more failures in which you can learn from. And as Helen Keller said, life is to be lived as a magnificent adventure or not at all. I love that. A magnificent adventure or not at all. So with all that being said, let me kind of tell you about my week. And hopefully, as I vent a few things, this will be clear. It will help some of you clarify some things, hopefully, in your mind. I hope this provides value. I really have no idea. I know I'm going to get value from it just by getting it out. And I hope that it speaks to you in a positive way. I hope that you don't take anything that I'm saying out of context and you understand where I'm coming from. And I know most of you that listen to this podcast on a weekly basis, you kind of know where I live and what I believe and where I'm coming from. So I think we'll be good. But so with all that being said, I'll just tell you about my week. Most of you know that listen to us weekly, when the coronavirus first started, we did a session. It was March 17th, session 167. And it was talking about the opportunity the coronavirus presents, network marketers. I think that was the name of the title, something like that. And some of you have heard that. Again, that was session 167. And, you know, since that podcast and even before that, you know, I have intentionally, on purpose, stayed out of the loop. I just tell Don, all I want to know is how many new cases were reported in the United States every day. That's all I want to know, because that's the only number that matters. And so I stayed out of the loop and out of the news cycle. I felt like if it was important enough, I would hear about it. And I believe that it presented, as I said in the March 17th session, session 167, it gave all of us a very unique time to really focus in on what we wanted to focus on and really come out of our normal routines and modes and really have some time where we can really, really move forward. And that's been my focus. So that's where I've lived. And I've been working on a deal off and on to buy a business since February, before all this even started. It's a 17-year-old business. It's called For the Beach. The actual website is the numeral 4, forthebeach.com. I've been around 17 years. It's had a couple owners. It's gone through a lot of ups and downs and sideways and changes and really kind of been neglected over the past few years. But at one time, this company, For the Beach, was doing $500,000 in annual sales online, close to it. And it's had a lot of success and customers and so on and so forth. But it's been around a long time. So, like I said, I've been working on this since February, and we finally finalized the deal about a week or so ago. So on Tuesday, Dawn and I got up, got packed, took an Uber to the airport, and we flew to Dallas, Texas. That's where the business and the inventory and everything was located. So we flew to Dallas, Texas. We got off at the airport. We took an Uber to the U-Haul facility where we had a truck reserved. We went to U-Haul. We got the U-Haul truck. We drove to the warehouse. Got there, met the owners personally for the first time, signed all the paperwork, loaded up the U-Haul with all the inventory, got the domain transferred, did everything that we needed to do, and we headed back on the long trip from Dallas to Atlanta. It was going to be about 12, 13 hours. And we've done this before. Some of you know that we buy large Hallmark ornament collections. Don's one of the largest Hallmark dealers in the United States in the collectible market. So, I mean, this is not anything really new for us. And we got back on the road and we drove. I drove about, I think, 8 hours. We got to Meridian, Mississippi. And I don't know how many of you have had too much experience driving U-Hauls. I've driven more than I care to over my lifetime, but they will wear you out, beating and banging and wind gusts moving you on the road and trucks flying by you. And it's not a real fun experience driving a U-Haul. It's not. And, but it'll wear you out. So, but I've done it and I've done it many times and, you know, I'll probably do it many more before it's all said and done. And we drove 8 hours. We got to Meridian, Mississippi. We got checked into our hotel, took a shower, went out, had a nice dinner. And then we arrived home yesterday and got everything unloaded. We're good to go. But, and I'd also, before we left, I'd bought a high dollar course on a business niche that very few people even know about or have talked about, totally different, has nothing to do with direct sales network marketing, but it's a business niche that I have an interest in and have been looking at for a while. And a gentleman that I respect who has had success, again, finding the right mentor. What is the right mentor? Someone who's had success, but more importantly, taught others how to create success. He's a great teacher. He's got a good track record. Anyway, I bought a course that he had. And so we listened to the course and made notes the whole trip back. So we wanted to make valuable use of that time in that big truck. So I say that just to say I had no idea whether the radio in the U-Haul worked. It may not have. I don't know. We never turned it on. But in Meridian, Mississippi, after having the shower and the dinner, and I came back, and I made a terrible mistake. And the mistake was I turned on the news. I typically, on a day-to-day basis, avoid the news. I don't care. I just avoid the news. I don't need it. It doesn't mean no value based upon what I'm working towards in my life. And I just don't watch the news. You know, Jerry Clark years ago said, you want to live a more positive life, stop watching TV and especially the news. And I agree with Jerry. And it's hard to do, but, you know, because I can get into it. I can get really into it if I want to. And from time to time, I'll just turn it on just to kind of get an update. But it's the same thing. It's like, it's just the same patterns over and over and over. It's like, you know, much to do about nothing. And this is, you know, this is the end all to be all. This is it, you know. And then, well, there's no facts to back up whatever is being spewed. So then another crisis and then another one and another one. And it's just ongoing from a political standpoint, especially. But when I turn on the news, and a lot of you probably know this, and if you don't, I apologize in advance. I'm sure most of you do. But I learned that a group of protesters had taken over the main police precinct in about a 6-block radius in Seattle. And it was kind of interesting because last week before we left, I actually talked to one of our training club members out there, a really close friend. And she was telling me, said, Dad, we got to get out of here, talking about ourselves and her husband. Said, we just got to get out of here. Says, people out here are just different. They're in Seattle. I did an event last year in Seattle. I've been to Seattle many times. I like Seattle a lot. You know, it's a little bit different vibe, but I like it. You know, it's where grunge rock and roll started. And, you know, it is a little bit different. The World's Fair was there, you know, years ago, and there's a lot of history and the boardwalk, and, you know, I like that whole area. We have friends that live in Seattle and in Washington, many, so I like it, but it's like, what you're telling, what, they blocked off 6 blocks around the main police precinct, and they aren't allowing any police into the 6-block radius, and you have people that have homes in that area and people that have businesses in that area, and protesters have blocked it off, and we're not sending in the National Guards or somebody to, I mean, that cannot happen. There's no value in that. There's no good that can come from that. And that cannot happen in the United States of America. It cannot happen. And then I'm reading where some special interest group Tuesday sued the Seattle Police Department to halt the tactics that they were using to break up the protesters. The police department was sued and said, well, you can't break up our protest using this, that, or the other thing, whether it's tear gas or whatever it is. Sued the police department. And I'm thinking, my gosh. And then, you know, I learned on Tuesday night that a Christopher Columbus statue in Richmond, Virginia had been torn down by protesters, set on fire, and then thrown into a lake. And that another Christopher Columbus statue had been decapitated, the head chopped off in Boston, and that in New York City, all these people were in an uproar about the Columbus statue that's on Columbus Circle outside Central Park in New York. Many of you have probably seen it. I've seen it many times. You know, it's a large 14-foot beautiful marble statue that stands on a pedestal right in Central Park on Columbus Circle. And they want to get rid of it. And of course, Nancy Pelosi's calling for all historic statues to be removed from Washington, D.C. And I'm thinking, what? We want all, and again, I knew this was happening in different locations all over, statues being removed. I knew that, but now it's become like this big thing again. And then you've got, again, you've got rioters taking over six blocks in Seattle. It's what the madness. And then, you know, I get on CNN's website and, you know, I've heard it said that CNN stands for the Communist News Network. And really, the more attention you pay to it, the more truth, there might be more truth that than in that statement than most people would ever want to admit. But, you know, and this is just direct quotes, and I'm going to be done on this. This is from their website. It says, On Sunday, nine members of the Minneapolis City Council announced that they intended to disband the city's police force entirely. So nine members of Minneapolis, Minnesota have decided, city council members, that they're going to disband the city's police force. We're committed to dismantling policing as we know it in the city of Minneapolis, and to rebuild our community in a new model of public safety that actually keeps our community safe, Council President Lisa Bender told CNN. Bender said the council still needs to discuss what to replace police with. That might be a good idea. But that the city would funnel money from police into community-based strategies. She noted, too, that most 9/11 calls are for mental health services, EMT, and fire services. Defunding is simpler than disbanding, though at least one mayor's already taken that step. After Californians decreed a proposal to increase the Los Angeles Police Department budget to $1.86 billion, the mayor agreed to slash, the mayor of L.A., to slash $100 to $150 million from the proposed funding. It's not a significant dent in the budget, but it's proof that officials are listening, Brian said. That's the mayor of the governor. What that's sufficient proof, in my opinion, this is Dale talking, translation is, I'm listening to special interest groups, so maybe I will get their vote next election. That's the translation. Anyway, I'll continue and then we'll finish up. A week ago, defunding the police in any capacity would sound like pie in the sky, he said. Now we're talking about it. Defunding police is an entirely new concept that might sound like pie in the sky, but next week it could be a lot different. Okay. I would just say I don't want my grandkids to grow up in a society where there are no police under any circumstances. Are there good police, bad police? Of course. You know, there is a mall cop mentality. I've probably talked about that. And unfortunately, there's some police that have that same feeling. They never had any authority the rest of their life, and you put a gun and a badge on them and they don't know how to handle it. The big concern here, and nobody seems to be talking about it, is what sane, stable human being would want to be part of any police force in the United States under the circumstances as they exist today? That's the scary part. I mean, over the last couple of years, I know many of you and myself as well have really tried to go out of my way when I see a police officer just to say, I support you. You know, I appreciate the work you do, which I've done with armed force people for 20 years. You know, I've tried to make a habit if I see an armed force, Army, Navy, someone in the armed forces in the airport to walk up, hand them a $20 bill and say, I appreciate your service. Let me buy you lunch today. And that's a habit I started years ago because a friend of mine did that his whole life. And I thought that was a great gesture. So I've always done that. And it's just quite amazing. So then I get home and the first email that I'm trying to catch up on email, and the first email is somebody wanting to know if I'm going to join and if I've heard about it, and that I need to take a look at the new hand sanitizer MLM. The product is hand sanitizer. It's like, are you kidding me? And then the next email is someone asked me, Dale, it was a joke, it was a friend of mine, they said, you're going to be attending the big how to eliminate racism in the MLM event that's coming up. And honestly, after those couple of emails, what's going on in Seattle, what's going on with Christopher Columbus statues, and the fact that anybody can even think about operating without a police force, I just had to really address this just to get it out of my mind and out of my head. And I hope you take it in the intentions in which I'm trying to communicate it. This has nothing to do with politics. It has everything to do with the person staring people back in the mirror. That's the real issue here. So what's really going on? Where's the rubber hit the road? What's going on behind the curtain? Where is all this madness coming from? And it really comes down to the person staring you back in the mirror, or the person staring your fellow Americans back in the mirror. The person staring you back in the mirror. Success can only happen after personal responsibility is embraced. Let me say that again. Success can only happen after personal responsibility is embraced. And I don't care what we're talking about. I don't care if we're talking about business. I don't care if we're talking about your workout, your workout that you're going to do 3 days a week. I don't care if we're talking about becoming the best parent you can become, the best spouse you can be, the best teacher, the best school bus driver. I don't care what it is. If you're going to have success in any endeavor, success does not happen by accident. It can only happen after personal responsibility is embraced. You know, and again, I learned this originally. Those of you that are members of the Program in Your Mind for Success program, you've heard this communicated in the neuropsychology of self-discipline. Self-discipline is something that most people don't want to have anything to do with, but it's the only thing that creates real freedom in life because it gives you options. Those who don't embrace personal responsibility open themselves up, this is important, to manipulation and getting caught up in the herd mentality. Those who don't embrace personal responsibility open themselves up to manipulation and following the herd mentality. Life comes down to this, and again, this is a very simplistic way to look at it, but I believe it's the foundation for a lot of the madness that we're seeing that's going on. It comes down to this. Leadership can, and let me say this, people in leadership positions have two choices. Inspire greatness in individuals or appeal to the mediocrity. You know, a lot of you know I wrote an article back in 2000 that was for the network marketing profession. That was the title of it. Inspire greatness or appeal to mediocrity. Because at the time, I saw the profession moving in a trend towards mediocrity. You know, you were seeing all kinds of ads and all the publications about we do 99% of the work and you keep 100% of the check and we're going to pay you 45% on your third level. And it was just a mass movement towards mediocrity, because when people cannot compete based upon merit, then the tendency is to try to attract bottom feeders and try to attract mediocrity and tell people things that simply aren't true, such as we're going to do 99% of the work and you keep 100% of the check. And the network marketing profession, which came out of the personal development movement, and personal development cannot happen until someone accepts personal responsibility. They kind of go hand in hand together. And when I saw everything moving in this direction towards, you know, mediocrity and appealing to mediocrity instead of inspiring greatness, that was in 2000. That's about the time that I came out with, was right after I came out with the first audio, Network Marketing is a Scam, which is available at Whole Course MLM Scam 2, the numeral 2.com. But we saw this trend. Okay, so leadership can appeal to mediocrity or tell the truth and inspire greatness. And that's not just in business, it's in every aspect. You know, every aspect. If you want a personal trainer that just blows smoke up your dress, or you want a personal trainer that works you and inspires you and pushes you if you're working out. So leadership, it's easy to appeal to mediocrity because so many people look in the mirror and that's what they see. And it's easy to do that versus tell the truth and inspire greatness. Those who look in the mirror and see a victim can easily be manipulated. Those who look in the mirror and see a victim can easily be manipulated. And look, guys, I mean, I'm sure there's been times in your life when you felt like a victim. You know, we all have, right? We've all gone through, you know, different situations where that were totally out of our control, that we did everything we knew to do, the best we possibly could, and got stabbed in the back, or however you want to phrase it, but it didn't turn out as we had hoped or as it should have. It was wrong. And we've all been victims and had times and places in our life and experiences that didn't work out. And as I've gotten older, I've realized that this victim mentality is a pattern that happens over and over and over for many people their entire life. From the time they were a child, they were in a bad situation, they were a victim, and it's just repeated over and over and over again. How many people have you met over the years? If you really stop and think about it, you'll be able to think about a lot of stories of people that you've met, and maybe for the first time, and within a short period of time, they share with you a horrific story that happened 10, 15, 20 years ago, and to the point where it's uncomfortable. Like, you didn't need to know that. That's too much information. I didn't need to know all that. We just met. How many times has that happened? I remember when Brittany, my oldest daughter, and her husband, Andrew, they left and went to Birmingham, Alabama to start a church from scratch. They just felt like that's what they needed to do. And we went down there to support them on their first service, and they worked so hard, and they really, really, really built for that event. And they were having their first service in the school, and long story short, they ended up with nearly 400 people in attendance at first service. And I met a lot of people and a lot of people in the community. And we met this one gentleman, I don't remember his name, we'll call him Joe. And I met Joe, and we were talking, and he was talking about how much he appreciated Andrew and Brittany and blah, blah, blah. And within 10 minutes of our conversation, and this was extreme, but this normally doesn't happen this quickly, but within 10 minutes of our conversation, he was telling me about how 15 years ago he got divorced, and how his wife messed over on him and blah, blah, blah. And he's telling me his life story in 15 minutes. And, you know, I didn't think too much about it. I mean, you know, I meet a lot of different people, and it was a great event. So after it was all over, we all went out to eat, and Andrew was asking, did you get to meet this person, this person, this person? Yeah, yeah. And aren't they cool? Yeah. And then a neat couple, yeah. Did you hear how we met them? Yeah. And it was all these different stories. It's all positive and upbeat. And he said, hey, did you meet Joe? And I said, yeah. He said, did he tell you about his wife 15 years ago and what she did? I said, yeah. He said, he tells everybody that. He's got to quit doing that. But he's lived as a victim. Now, that's extreme, extreme example. But all of us have met people that, and divorce is kind of common, they go through a divorce and they're bitter about it the rest of their life. Or different situations and different circumstances, and they harbor this bitterness, this, you know, my job, they laid me off. I was there for 19 years. I worked, you know, I did this extra work and this extra work. And they hang on. They hang on to that which didn't go as planned. They hang on to it. They hang on to that victim mentality. And again, these are normal people a lot of times. There's probably many of you listening to this. There's something in your life that was not right, that should have never happened, that you still have not got past, gotten through, progressed forward with. I mean, again, we've all had different situations in this. You know, I talk about in network marketing, I went through a period when I felt like I went through 20 divorces at the same time. I did. And I don't talk too much about it because I'm beyond it to the best of my ability, and I'm trying to move forward because it is what it is. There's nothing I can do. I can't go back. You know, if we could all go back and remove the two or three biggest mistakes that we've made in our life, especially those of you my age, if we could go back and eliminate two or three of the biggest mistakes that we've made in our life, how much different would things be in many cases? But sometimes things happen that are beyond our control. They're beyond our control. And it's hard not to hang on to that bitterness and that feeling of being a victim. But I want to ask you something. You know, if for people that have gone through terrible divorces 20 years ago, or they had an evil relative that they abused them as a child, or they lost a job that they shouldn't have lost because the owner's uncle's son, you know, took their position, or they had a terrible business partner, or on and on and on. We could talk about many different situations people go through. Here's the question. Who is the only person that can break that pattern? Who is the only person that can break that pattern? Joe's going to live in misery the rest of his life because of what his life, what his wife did 15 years ago, the gentleman in Birmingham I was talking about. And there's many other people that live the same way, day in, day out, over and over. With that, it's like a big ball and chain around their neck. Who is the only person that can break that pattern? So, you're always going to feel that way if you don't get through it. If you don't get through it. And I see this in network marketing a lot of times. You know, people tell me, I hear this literally every week, people that contact me through different platforms or whatever, and they say, Dale, I used to follow you and I was on track. And I, here's the term, I fell for the foo-foo dust. I've heard people tell me that. It's amazing. Dale, I fell for the foo-foo dust. I was convinced I had to start a blog, and I joined all that, and I did all this. I was convinced I had to do this. I fell for the foo-foo dust. That's in network marketing. But guys, it's in all aspects of life. When you let those feelings of being a victim come upon you, then you open yourself up for manipulation and for shortcuts a lot of times. For manipulation and shortcuts. So, in my opinion, America has become a group of loudmouth special interest groups operated by people that have a leadership title or leadership position who manipulate the masses by telling them over and over, you're a victim, you have no control, somebody has messed over you, and so on and so forth. They feed that in people, that you're inferior, you cannot rise above, you know, you can't, you know, somebody else did this to you, you're a victim. And they make money by keeping the masses stirred up. Now guys, I've never been real political, especially in my younger days when I was building. I just don't pay a lot of attention to this because in my mind, these people that want to keep the pot stirred constantly, and I don't care if we're talking about David Duke or Reverend Jesse Jackson. Okay, this has nothing to do with black, white, red, green, yellow, pink. It has nothing to do with that. But there's people that make money, make their living by keeping the pot stirred all the time. For those of you that don't know who David Duke was, he was the head of the KKK, and he was also the governor of Louisiana 20 years ago or so. And then most of you probably know Reverend Jesse Jackson. But when I was young, it's like, to me, it's like, isn't it obvious to everybody what they're doing? Isn't it common sense what they're doing? And I've realized that common sense isn't that common anymore. You know, and you know, we want, people want to keep these special interest group leaders, want to keep the pot stirred up, and so they can continue to create funding and raise money. And instead of keeping the pot stirred up, why don't they tell people, look, you can arise above it. You can do great things. You know, you don't have to let anybody keep you down. You can rise above whatever challenges that you may have. That's the message. That is the true message. It's reality. You can rise above it. You can rise above it. You don't have to be oppressed or put down or let people make you feel inferior. You cannot, you should not give people the ability, the power to let them do that. You got to talk to yourself different. You got to understand you've got seeds of greatness in you. You have talents and skills and gifts, and I believe a mission and a passion that only you can fulfill. I believe that you're here for a reason. It's not, you know, there's a reason for you to fulfill. There's a calling that you have. I believe that for everybody. I believe people are here for a reason. And the main thing is, when you leave, is this place better off because you were here? Are you a giver or are you a taker? And again, I've talked about this in many, many different podcasts and webinars and seminars, because I just believe it is what it is. See, I love I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And I realize many of you listen to this podcast from all over the world, but I have pride in the United States, and I'm proud to be an American, as you should be proud to be a Norwegian or a Hungarian or wherever you're listening to, a Canadian, wherever you are in the world. There's nothing wrong with that. And it's not a superiority complex. It's just proud. Proud to live in a free enterprise system, because most of you that are listening, you're living in a free enterprise system. You have opportunity where you are, where you were planted. You do. But as long as you're being told constantly you're a victim, they've done it to you, you've been messed over, how are you ever going to progress? It's impossible to progress. You know, and I looked at the Pledge of Allegiance, and I looked at indivisible, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And I thought, what is the actual definition of indivisible? I mean, I think I know what it is. You know, I've said it 1,000 times. But the definition is not divisible, not separable into parts, incapable of being divided. Think about that, especially what we see going on in the world today. Incapable of being divided. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice. Liberty and justice for who? For all. With liberty and justice for all. And I sincerely believe that our founding fathers, that was the goal, that was the dream, the American dream, that was the desire. Not for a select few, but liberty and justice for all. How? By being indivisible, by being in this together. And when you have special interest groups who are only concerned about their personal agendas and not what creates liberty and justice for all, you end up with what we have going on right now in the United States. Yes, I blame it on special interest groups. I blame it on people with leadership titles who are only concerned about their agenda and not liberty and justice for all. Special interest groups telling people over and over they're a victim, they have no control, they've been messed over, they've been skipped over. And it just spreads, and it spreads, and it spreads. When I think about what special interest groups have done in the United States just over my lifetime, it's really kind of mind-blowing. That these loudmouth special interest groups, you know, it's like the squeaky wick wheel gets all the grease. And when we live in a culture where most politicians are not concerned about justice for all, they're concerned about re-election, and you see things happen that are just hard to understand, hard to comprehend. You know, in 1962, prayer in schools was outlawed. Regardless of your religious beliefs, reality is 19th America, you know, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. 1962, we got the bright idea that we need to eliminate prayer in school. Not too long after that, we stopped saying the Pledge of Allegiance in schools because of lawsuits that should have been thrown out, found frivolous. Then in 1980, the Ten Commandments were removed. And I sincerely believe, and please hear me, regardless of your political views, your religious views, this has nothing to do with it. Hear what I'm saying. I believe today if we did a poll and we ask everybody in America, do you believe that prayer should still be allowed in school? Do you believe that kids should be allowed to say the Pledge of Allegiance if they chose to? And do you believe that there's a that there can be posted in classrooms, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt honor thy mother and father? The Ten Commandments should be posted for kids to see. If you ask most people in the United States today, is that a good idea, or does it provide harm to kids to have that exposure versus not having that exposure? I believe that without question that the majority of people live in the United States would say, I think it's a great idea to keep that in front of kids, to treat others as you want to be treated. That's good. There's no harm that can come from that. Yet, we live in a country where special interest groups have allowed that to be totally removed from our school systems. And when that happens, you end up in a state of unintended consequences. History cannot be erased. It can only be learned from. So you can tear down every Christopher Columbus or any other statue that you want. It doesn't erase history. You cannot erase history. You can only learn from it. All any of us can do is live, learn, and move forward. Live, learn, and move forward. A wise person learns from their own mistakes. A really wise person learns from the mistakes of others. Removing statues of Christopher Columbus or anybody else is not going to erase history or change a person's self-image. Did you hear what I just said? Just because you remove the statue does not change a person's self-image. If a statue triggers feelings of inadequacy, it's not the statue's problem to deal with. It's the internal self-talk of that person. It's the programming of that person. It's the internal, and see, you can use that self-talk to rise above. I will not be denied. I will not be denied. I'm rising above it. It can trigger positive or it can trigger negative. But when you're constantly told it's supposed to trigger negative because you've been shamed, you've been this, you've been that, it's the programming. It's the programming. So again, it's not going to erase history or change a person's self-image, because a self-image is an internal job. Changing and dealing with your self-image is internal. It's about the person staring you back in the mirror, nobody else. And when it's constantly reinforced that you're not good enough, that you've been screwed over, constantly, over and over and over, eventually you live in that state of mediocrity, that state of, I cannot rise above this. Maybe what the mind can conceive and believe it can achieve, but all I can conceive is trying to get through another day. You know, it's like me, and again, this is not at the same level, and I'm not trying to talk about or lighten the horrific flaws of the past. and the situations that different people have had to deal with at different times in their life on an individual basis. I'm not trying to diminish that at all. At all. I'm not. But in my mind, it's almost, it's not the same. And I acknowledge it's not the same, but it's almost like saying, you know, I was raised in a little dinky town, 400 population, no opportunity there. I was in a school district in the state that was like 48 out of in the United States as far as school districts. And, you know, I've moved to California now, and when I see the Kentucky flag, it just makes me feel inferior. So we need to do away with the Kentucky flag, the Kentucky state flag. It's not the Kentucky state flag problem. That would be my problem if I felt that way. Again, just like it's not the statue's problem. Does that make sense? It's an internal, inside job. It's based upon each individual. Because you know what? There's people that say, well, Dale, you know, I grew up in the worst school system in Chicago. Yeah. And you know what? Other people did too. And other people came out of it. And they got through it. And they lived productive, successful lives. And that's in any aspect of life. You can make excuses or you can move forward and progress. And it's so much easier to just make excuses. Just make excuses. It's much easier than taking on personal responsibility, but no growth can occur until personal responsibility occurs. We can create a mentality of rising above our circumstances or being manipulated with the rest of the sheep. And it is an individual choice based upon the person staring you back in the mirror. You know, guys, if 1,000 people say a stupid thing, it's still a stupid thing. If 1,000 people say a stupid thing, it's still a stupid thing. If 1,000, we got to disarm all of the statues, all the historic statues in Washington, D.C., really? If 1,000 people say a stupid thing, it's still a stupid thing. You know, again, excuses. People say, I don't have the education. You know, I attended a lousy public school. Others have done it, but, you know, I can't. And the reality is formal education will make you a living. But if you become self-educated, that's how you create fortunes. And anybody can become self-educated. You can become self-educated, create a fortune in the process, help a lot of people along the way. You know, I get so tired of people that have just bought into this, I'm a victim mentality. No, you're not. No, you're not. But Dale, you don't understand. 15 years ago, my wife, it doesn't matter. You know, 20 years ago, I went through 20 divorces. At least it felt like it. I had a nervous breakdown. I understand what you're saying, but you can dwell or you can live, learn, and move forward. It's up to you. I mean, think about it, guys. Les Brown, many of you probably know Les Brown or heard Les Brown. Les Brown was born in the Miami Projects to a mom that was a drug addict. In school, they labeled him as retarded. And Les Brown has grown and moved forward and taken responsibility and become one of the most sought-after personal development speakers in the world. Helped thousands and thousands of lives. Most of you probably heard of Zig. You know, Zig Ziglar. Zig changed my life. I wouldn't be talking to you today if I hadn't heard Zig Ziglar at the IBM Employee Awareness Program. Years and years ago. And if he hadn't said, you are where you are in your life because of what's gone into your mind, and the only way to change where you are is to get government help to help. No, the only way to change where you are is to change what goes into your mind. And you know, Zig was, his dad died when he was young. He was the 10th, and there was 12 children in the family. He was 10th. In the middle of the depression, living down in Yazoo City, Mississippi, had to sell newspapers or whatever he could on the streets just to help his mom try to keep 12 kids fed. He started with nothing, had nothing, had every excuse in the world to live the rest of his life as a victim. And some of you know people, have grandparents that maybe that went through the Depression stories, and a lot of people never got past that. But Zig went on, and we all know the story of Zig Ziglar and See You at the Top, and became one of the most sought after personal development speakers in the world. But he started in a terrible state, in the middle of the Depression, you know, with a mom that was just trying to keep food on the table. You can make excuses, or you can take responsibility and decide, I'm going to rise above it. It's up to you guys, because everybody listening to me probably is participating or has the opportunity to participate in the free enterprise system. What is the free enterprise system? It's the opportunity to say, okay, see what self-education you can internalize and implement in the marketplace to provide value to customers and produce results. The actual definition is a market economy. It's an economic system in which the decisions regarding investment, production, and distribution are guided by the price signals created by the forces of supply and demand. You know, people come to this country. Do they come to this country to get a job? Of course not. They come to this country because America provides the free enterprise system. And we grow up in this country, and what are we taught? Go to school, get a good education, go to work for a good company. That's what we're taught. And so you can have a really good 9-to-5 existence. Look, if you want a 9-to-5 job, you can go to a communist country and have that. That's not what America was all about. America is based upon free enterprise system, about doing whatever you decide to do to provide value to the marketplace in which you serve, to grow, learn, and do more, become more, inspire more. Not by being a victim, not by following the sheep around from herd to herd because somebody has messed over you. You got a bad draw in the deck of life. It has nothing to do with that. You're capable. You know, you're not incapable of becoming more than you already are. But Dale, you know, you don't understand. I just so messed over. You know, this happened, that happened. How do they expect you to live on minimum wage? You know what? They don't. Yes, I know. I know all the pundits, all the leadership in the special interest groups that want to keep you riled up, keep you all riled up about how do they expect us to live on minimum wage? That's not what it was designed for. We expect you to grow, learn, become more valuable to your company, move up through the ranks, you know, run the business, not just sit there at the order desk the rest of your life taking orders for a Big Mac and fries. Come on. That's the message. That's the message that needs to be in the market, not this you're a victim every other way. Well, then you don't understand. It's Steve Jobs' fault. He's Steve Jobs. Elon Musk is too rich, Dale. Mark Zuckerberg is ruining the world with Facebook. No, he's exposed people to way to what they already were. He's just exposed people. That's what Facebook has done. He doesn't make you go on there 3 hours a day. You know, YouTube doesn't require you to watch 30 minutes of cat videos daily. You know, Jeff Bezos, it's not his fault. It's not Amazon's fault. You know, I know Google made you do it. You know, we can blame, or we can take responsibility. Period. End of story. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. Accept it, don't accept it. Again, I understand it's easier. It's easier for me. It's easier for everybody to just blame somebody else. If first I don't succeed, fix the blame quick. And I'm not a fan of Amazon. Amazon has screwed over us our businesses more than once, and many, many other people, many others. The people that built it, they're going to destroy it, and they're going to take over the world before it's all said and done. And I've talked about that in the past. Same could be said for Google. The people that built Google, they slapped it, slapped a lot of us, killed our businesses back in the day. Okay, so again, we can blame or we can live, learn, and move forward. It's up to us. It's up to all of us. You know, it's up to all of us. 90-10 rule. I want to talk about this a little bit. But we are all in a place and time where network marketing businesses are ridiculed. But hear this, not just network marketing. Business in general is ridiculed. We live in a society where anyone who takes advantage and participates in the free enterprise system and believes in compassionate capitalism, that money does a lot of good in the world. Money supports big brothers and big sisters, and it supports churches and hospitals and worthwhile charities. Money takes on the personality of the person that has the money. And we live in a society where if you participate in free enterprise, and therefore you must be ripping somebody off, or you must be evil. And that mentality has grown dramatically. And I'm going to say in the last 12 months. You know, I heard a joke one time that says 99% of attorneys give the other 1% a bad name. And I'm not a fan of court systems or attorneys at all. But I also am very well aware that there's some really great people who work as attorneys. Really great people. But, you know, to say that all attorneys or ambulance chasers, it's not a true statement. The majority of the population feel that anyone who's telling people anything other than go to school, get a good education, go to work for a good company, then they're automatically assumed that they're just a fake guru after the dollar. And again, it comes back to being value-focused, survival-focused, or income money-focused, which I've talked about many times. Yeah, I've been more outspoken about network marketing industry that the network marketing industry has got to police itself and call out the fake gurus and the people that are just spewing stuff that makes absolutely no sense based upon nothing but their own trying to line their own pocketbooks instead of sharing true wisdom of the ages, principles, and ideas more than anybody. There's probably nobody that's, you know, more than I have over the years. But we're in a situation right now where fake gurus, that term is becoming very mainstream. And not in the network marketing profession as much as other areas. If it ever hits the network marketing profession, there's going to be a lot of heads roll. There'll be a lot of heads roll. If all these people that have made it their mission in life to call out fake gurus ever really focuses on the network marketing profession, it's going to be unbelievable. But, you know, there's people calling out. And again, many of the people that are called out need to be called out. Need to be. I agree with. But there's a 90-10 rule. Because even if 90% of the fake gurus in any business model, I don't care what you're talking about, you can be talking about, you know, Forex trading or real estate flipping homes or any other business model you want to think of. And even if 90% of the people selling courses and programs are just ripping off and other people's material or whatever's going on, it doesn't change the fact that there's people in every niche that are sincerely value-focused, that sincerely want to help people, that want to be helped, move forward, progress, and learn the skill sets, mindsets, and create the self-image necessary for success, that still exists. And to blanket anybody that is teaching people to not follow a traditional route of going to school, getting education, going to work, and becoming an entrepreneur, and to say, if you're teaching anything to do with any type of free enterprise, and therefore you're a fake guru, is not healthy. And we have got to preserve what we have left. It's in the network marketing industry, but in the home business, work for yourself, in every niche that's out there. Because if you go on YouTube now and you just type in fake guru, you're going to be shocked at what you see. And again, I think that most of the people being called out need to be called out. But I was watching something the other night. I couldn't sleep, and it was like some guy that was in I don't even know how to say it, the water company with the water filter. And I don't know anything about that company, Cagnan or Cagigen, or y'all probably know. I don't even know the name of it. But this guy was obviously a victim. He was a victim before he joined. And how this company ripped him off, this network marketing company, of $10,000. No, they didn't. They didn't make you buy a second and third or fourth filter when you hadn't sold your first one. You made the decision. It was a bad decision. Live, learn from it, and move forward. And, you know, we're in a world where these victims want to get up and tell their story, and how some evil company or individual, you know, stole their money, but they didn't make them buy the product. They didn't make them buy into the program. And again, I'm not saying that tactics were not being used that should not have been used, but I'm saying we've got to take responsibility for the good and the bad decisions that are made in our life. It's easy to play the victim. It's embarrassing. I'm embarrassed for these people. It's like, well, I used to be married. I'm not married anymore. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, I understand why. Victim. You got to get past that. And again, I'm not talking to any individual, but I'm just saying in general. But we cannot afford to lose people that are willing to tell the truth. We can't. And we have to support those and police ourselves as a profession. And I'm not just talking about network marketing. I'm talking about entrepreneurism in the United States. I'm talking about anybody that wants to take advantage of the free enterprise system, because it's becoming extremely unpopular. You know, I've talked about the responsibility of leadership many times over the years, and how it's so important that, you know, you don't start telling people they need to start a blog if they expect to be perceived to be a network marketing professional, just so you can make a commission on the affiliate program that you're selling. And you know, there's so many people have done that with lead programs and blogging and all this other stuff. And people that had leadership titles and leadership positions trying to communicate to the marketplace that you must have this if you expect to have success. And it's simply not true. And they knew it wasn't true. If they had any sense at all, they knew it wasn't true. But they were more concerned about affiliate commissions in their own pocketbook than they were providing proper guidance and direction to people. And again, it's not just in our profession. It's everywhere. So again, life comes down to many things, but one way that will help you, I think, during these crazy times is just look at what's going on behind the curtain. Because it's people with leadership titles that are either trying to inspire greatness or appealing to the mediocrity in people and keeping things stirred up. You know, I've referred to the article that I wrote, Inspired Greatness or Catered Mediocrity, back in 2000 when it was written. I've referred to that many times in many different podcasts. And we just live in a world, guys, where common, ladies and gentlemen, where common sense isn't so common anymore. The network marketing business model and free enterprise system right now needs you personally, you listening, more than ever, to stand up for wisdom of the ages principles and let people know that they don't have to settle for being a victim. They don't have to settle for minimum wage. They don't have to settle for being a victim. So, in these crazy times, how do we cope? And I think it's, you know, you live, you learn, and you move forward. And more than anything else, you have to refuse to be a victim and refuse to let those type of thoughts enter your mind. No matter what your past is not equal to the future unless you decide for it to. You got to get through it. Don't let those thoughts enter your mind. And to do everything you can every day to work towards your free enterprise journey and set the example for other people. Let me say that again. How do you cope? How do you cope? It's about the person staring you back in the mirror. You cope by living, learning, and moving forward. Refuse to be a victim. And do everything you can every day to work towards your free enterprise dream, your goal, your desire, so you can set the example for other people. You know, years ago I saw the trend of people not taking personal responsibility and buying into all this propaganda of being a victim. And again, it didn't matter if it was coming from Jesse Jackson or David Duke. It didn't matter. But you just saw these special interest, quote unquote, leaders that were just constantly regurgitating every chance they got, you know, how people are a victim and they've been messed over and, you know, they didn't get their Obama phones and all, you know, they got the phones, but they didn't get the phones and all the stuff that we all see. If we just stop, take a breath, sit back and look at it, it's like, okay, as this leader, person with a leadership title, are they coming from a standpoint of keeping it stirred up? Are they coming from a standpoint of telling people you can learn, grow, develop, become more than you ever thought possible? You do not have to be a victim. You live in America. It's the greatest free enterprise system the world's ever known. You know, become self-educated. Learn and become more. Or you're so stupid. You're so uneducated that you got to have the government take care of you because you know, if you don't, Steve Jobs and Zuckerberg and Google and everybody else is just going to take such advantage of you. I mean, you can see the messages, guys. It's not hard when you sit back and look at it as broad as you possibly can. So anyway, I did a training at an event several years ago called Forever a Victim. I don't think so. And we're going to try to find it. And if we do, we're going to put the audio on the next podcast for you next week. And honestly, I would tell you of all the trainings I've ever done, other than Programming Your Mind for Success, but Programming Your Mind for Success is a lot more in depth. You know, because we get into subliminal programming and all that, you know, a lot of stuff about self-talk and subconscious mind, conscious mind, and we get, I mean, that's an in-depth. But as far as a 45-minute or hour, whatever the presentation was, you know, that I've done over the years, we've done a lot. I can tell you, I've never had more people after an event come up to me with tears in their eyes saying how it really affected them, that they saw some things in their life that they had never really taken a hard look at before. So I hope we find it, and we'll put the audio. That'll be up for you next week. That'll be session 187. And I hope I've just stimulated some thought here. That's really all I needed to do. I hope this has helped in some way clarify the madness that's going on. There's no question. Hopefully things will settle down at some point. But when you live in a world or in a country where everything's based upon free enterprise, and you were never taught how to participate in free enterprise, and you see people around you that have, and it's real easy to say, you know, we're the 99%, you know. Some of you remember years ago, I remember going, I had an event in New York City, and all these people camped out in the park, and what the heck is going on? Well, it's the Occupy Wall Street, you know. We've all seen this type of thing happen. But again, it's not, I'm not saying that big banks and big business, that they're all squeaky clean or anything like that. I'm not saying that there's not major greed. I'm not. But I'm saying it's not, it might be 90%, but there's 10% of people in this country and around the world that sincerely want to provide value to the markets that they serve. There truly are. And to try to throw everybody in the same bucket is just not fair. It's not fair, and it's not true. And it's easy to do that if you're not willing to accept personal responsibility. It's easy. That's the easy out. I mean, I could have done that for sure and just be done years ago. And it took a while. And it's going to take a while. It's not easy. You know, because, again, I respect the fact some of you, you know, have been through a lot, you know, and I understand we have a lot of African-American members of our training club that listen to this podcast, and I hope I haven't said anything that was taken the wrong way, and I hope you understand, but I'm going to share one other thing. I didn't know whether I should or not, but I will, because it's what I believe. I'm sitting here as I'm recording this, I'm looking at a picture of my grandkids, and many of you know I've got two grandsons that I love to death that are African American. They're black. Jude Daniel, who was adopted from Uganda and smartest kid on the planet, is going to be 7 foot tall. Jude is unbelievable. And then I have Tice. And Tice, his mom and dad, Channing, was working in an unwed mother's home several years ago. They befriended a girl that lived there and helped her get back on her feet. And she ended up becoming pregnant again. And they worked out a private adoption of Tice, my other little grandson. And both of these kids, Jude and Tice, live in very healthy, loving environments, homes. You know, Tice talks to his birth mom and his stepbrother, you know, probably once a week. And they've got great lines of communication. Jude understands the whole adoption from Uganda and that whole story and his story and how special he is. And they grow up in great environments and great homes, and they're very well, they're respected and nurtured and taken care of. And which many, many kids around the country and around the world are, live in those type of environments. Not all, but there's a lot of poor white trailer trash as well that live in horrific environments. Okay, so there just is. But my point is simply this. I was looking on Amazon, I think, yesterday, and it's like Black Lives Matter. And for me, see, I sincerely don't understand racism. Sincerely, I don't understand it. I wasn't raised in that environment. To me, I always look at where's the person's spirit, where they come from, where's their heart, where's their focus, and you can tell by their words. And I always look at, not to sound cliche, but I look at where's their heart, where they live, where they come from. And the color of their skin it's not even something that I even think about. Now, I'm not saying that there's not, I remember being in Louisiana and hearing David Duke on TV when I was doing an event down there and just appalled by this guy, okay? So I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but what I'm saying is, here's my main point. And real soon, my grandsons are going to be able to read. They're going to be able to read. And when they read Black Lives Matter, how's that going to compute in their mind and their heart? Because I think they're going to think, well, of course we matter. Don't we matter? I thought we mattered. I didn't know we were any different from anybody else. Of course we matter. And see, I think that can create a pattern, a doubt of why do they have to tell us we matter? Of course we matter. And it can create a pattern that just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Now, again, I look at it from a kid's standpoint and the programming that's developed. And I know by the time they're 12, I get all that. I understand it. But of course Black Lives Matter. Of course White Lives Matter. Red Lives Matter. Green Lives Matter. All lives matter. All people walking the planet matter. I don't care what country you're from, what race or background, it all matters. What is that, red or yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight? I grew up with that in my soul when I was a kid. Of course, it's not even a question. And to have to make that statement, and I understand that some people feel they have to keep that in the forefront. But what I doubt and what I'm concerned about is it ultimately creating more unnecessary conflict with future generations and with kids than what's the benefit versus the detriments that can come from it. And why are not people really thinking about it from that perspective? And is it just a case of having to keep the pot stirred up? And again, I don't know enough about that organization. I don't know anything. Haven't read. Don't want to know. Don't need to know. Okay? I might be 100% off. But I'm not 100% off as it relates to how it could negatively affect my grandkids. I'm not. So I'm just glad that I'm aware of it. So as they grow older, we can have the right conversations and we can have the right type of conversations. And I can be very focused and aware of that and kind of keep track of that, as I know my daughters will as well. Just a thought, guys. So how do you cope? Stay focused on your entrepreneurial dream. Because we need you as a profession, network marketing, as entrepreneurs, to set the example for other people. That's what we need. Next week, I hope hopefully we'll find forever a victim. I think that will be valuable. I think that will be a session. And again, I haven't even gone back and ever listened to it after I did it. I just know the response I had from people was unlike anything I've ever done. And when we did make it available on DVD several years ago, we sold a lot of them. And people were ordering 4, 5, 6 because they said, I've got a nephew that needs this, or somebody that's in my women's club needs to see this. I've got somebody, a friend, somebody that needs this. And we sold a lot of those DVDs. I don't know why we quit selling them, but we sold a lot. And I've had a lot of communication from people since then that have heard that, and it made an impact. And hopefully we'll be able to find it, get it on the podcast, the audio version. Hopefully it'll be something that, you know, you might get value from yourself, but maybe you'll want to share with other people that maybe it can impact. I'm going to try to go back and listen to it myself, even though I did it one time and I've never done it since. But it is the foundation of what I've tried to communicate with you today. Hopefully, when you look at the situations going on around you, understanding what you're looking at, what the motivations are really for people, stirring the pot or inspiring people, because that's the choice of leadership, to cater to mediocrity or inspire greatness. And I hope this helped. I'm going to wrap this up. Let me end with my favorite Bible verse, Jeremiah 29:11, one of my favorites. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. With that, we'll wrap it up. We'll talk to you next week on another session of the MLM Success Podcast. Thanks for listening, guys. I appreciate you.
If you haven't gone over to iTunes yet and rated and left this podcast a review, what are you waiting for? At Calvert Marketing Group, we want to spend our time on the projects that we know are providing the most value for our clients and customers. You leaving us a review and feedback on iTunes is something that helps us more than you realize. And more importantly, it helps others like you find us. So if you've not taken the time to rate this podcast, please go over to iTunes and do that for us now. It will only take a couple of minutes out of your busy schedule. Work harder on yourself than you do on your business, and we will be back next week with another inspiring success story, Wisdom of the Ages training, or answers to your questions.